WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Hamas is warning the Israeli government's plan to seize control of Gaza City would amount to, quote, sacrificing the hostages still being held in Gaza. This man in Tel Aviv is weighing in.
Basically, I think it's a death sentence to hold the hostages that are still being held there. I think that we have to bring all the hostages back home safely.
No word of a deal or consequences as President Trump's deadline for Russia to reach a ceasefire with Ukraine arrives. National security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
It will be telling to see if President Trump continues with his deadline for Russia to agree to a ceasefire or if he just extends that indefinitely until there's a summit.
New wildfires burned almost 5,000 acres north of Los Angeles. This man in Castaic's among thousands who've been forced from their homes.
20, 30 animals that we left behind that we couldn't take out. It's scary because we don't know what happened to them and what's going to be when we get back.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRA News, I'm Melissa Kay. While the Wisconsin DNR has allowed the week-long air quality advisory to expire for now, it doesn't quite mean we're all in the clear. The Canadian wildfires remain ongoing, and Craig Karnecki with Wisconsin DNR Air Management said there are a lot of factors that keep the flames burning. That includes unseasonably warm temperatures, a lack of snow over the winter, and extended drought conditions. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin lawmaker has filed an official complaint over wildfire smoke from Canada. Joanne Krulots reports.
A Wisconsin lawmaker has filed an official complaint over wildfire smoke from Canada. Tomahawk Republican Representative Calvin Callahan, along with Republican lawmakers from Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota, submitted the letter to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. In a statement, Callahan says Canada needs to face real consequences if it fails to get wildfires under control. The letter calls for an investigation into the country's wildfire management practices and for potential remedies under the international law. The lawmakers argue Canada's failure to contain the fires has harmed the quality of life of more than 20 million Americans in the Midwest. They're requesting response within 30 days from the EPA.
The first week of August is World Breastfeeding Week. We're well aware of the benefits for babies, but proponents at UW Health Kids say there's still a need for more awareness and support for breastfeeding mothers. Many postpartum moms face mental health challenges, such as stress, anxiety, and depression, that can impact lactation ability. There's limited access to experts and education. Some cities are working to improve access and awareness. In Wisconsin Rapids, Mayor Matt Zacher has proclaimed the entire month of August National Breastfeeding Month. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers preseason underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from training camp in Green Bay, where the Packers host the Jets tomorrow night in their first preseason game. Aaron Mosby made the team last year as a linebacker. Does he feel pressure to make the cut this year?
There's always pressure when you're trying to make a 53-man roster. That's just anyone in the league. It can go for anyone. So it's a little bit of pressure, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. We've been playing this since we were little kids. So you just go out there, you know, try to have fun with it, try to do your best, and try to make a splash play here and there.
College football. The Badgers hold their final practice at UW-Platteville Saturday night before moving back to Madison. Baseball. The Brewers and the Mets in Milwaukee. First baseman Andrew Vaughn continues to hit home runs every series.
Vaughn is unbelievable. Three times on base. One time he just circled the bases. He's been special both offensively, defensively. Vaughn, Collins, and Perkins are the three that you got to look at. And Sal, those are great performances by those four.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. We'll get to right around 90 for a high, but that heat index is going to be in the upper 90s and some places into the triple digits. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms, lows in the low to mid-70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s to low 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking in the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. Enjoy highlights from recent shows, and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Happy Friday. It is August 8th, 2025, 7:06. Nice to have you here back up north as we head into a weekend here on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is standing by. We're going to come to him a little early to talk about a federal court decision this week about the dispute over road access on the Lac du Flambeau Reservation by non-tribal members who own property within the reservation's boundaries. And I'll compare my interpretation of it to Jim's. One of us went to law school. The other just yodels on the radio, but we'll see what we say about that. And then Jim will be back with Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob as we do more of our week in review, some of the headlines of the week. That's all coming up. Dr. Kristen Lyerly in our next hour. And, of course, we'll have sports as well with Mike Clemens. But first, it is time for the forecast heading into the weekend. Parker Olson is here from Madison Studio A2 as we welcome in meteorologist Brittany Merlot, where I thought, well, maybe for a short period here, we could open up the windows because it's going to be really hot later today. Can we open them up for a bit? No, we can't. The humidity is still no bueno, shall we say.
Yeah,
it is
no bueno.
Sticky.
It is.
And, and we got that. So I imagine the thunder can't be far behind.
No, it's not. We've got a lot going on here as we head into the weekend. So pay attention if you had any outdoor plans because you're going to want to listen up. So temperatures right now, 63 degrees is the coolest up in Eagle River. It's about 73 degrees in the big cities, Milwaukee, Madison area. We've got some fog far north and east by the Great Lakes. We've got a low pressure system right now building in North Dakota. It's already dragged the warm front, right? We felt that yesterday. A lot of us did reach those low 90s, and it's going to be very sunny today and still humid, very humid. Dew points in the mid 60s to low 70s. Heat advisories out already for Green Bay, Oshkosh, Shawano area up in those woods, Ashland, Hayward, even over to Siren as well. You're going to see some of the warmest temperatures in the state. Low 90s will be creeping in, and the humidity paired with that means it's going to be feeling more like 100 degrees. Yesterday, our heat index felt about the mid-90s or so. So this is going to get even warmer as we head into this afternoon, and you know, with that low-pressure system just sitting out there in the batter's box, it's headed here towards us. So what we're going to see is storms starting this afternoon, probably around 3 o'clock, right towards Superior, Hayward, into the Ashland area, where you're actually in a slight risk for them to be strong to severe. Biggest threats are going to be some high damaging wind gusts, hail, and also some heavy downpours. A quick 1 to 2 inches is possible. So we're looking at first round this afternoon, then another round up there, still far north, overnight, probably around 3 a.m., I could linger into the morning. And then this front is going to start to shift south. It's going to be headed towards the La Crosse, Wausau area by tomorrow morning, probably around 9 a.m. And it's going to be hitting hard. We are in a slight risk. The whole central Wisconsin area from La Crosse to Wausau to Green Bay, down to Sheboygan and over to Madison. This is tomorrow afternoon. Those high damaging winds, also some heavy rain and hail is possible as we go through the morning. They should start to ease up a little bit at night, but more and more rounds start to come through because this front wants to stall. Yep, park itself right over southeastern Wisconsin, where we could see rounds of rain, heavy rain at times, all the way through Tuesday. So this could start Saturday, tomorrow afternoon, all the way through Tuesday, potentially. So we're definitely looking at a flooding risk in the south and eastern parts of the state, where totals could get up to 4-5 inches by the time this kicks all out of here. So as we go into the weekend, be careful out there. A lot of things going on. The temperatures still do stay warm and muggy, even as we go into the weekend and into next week. We're still looking at low to mid 80s. It's still going to be feeling close to near 90 degrees. So very summery conditions. And of course, stormy. So stay weather savvy.
And of course, if you want to get your mowing done, if you're going to get that lawn done, today would be it. Doesn't matter if it's hot or not. Get it done. Which takes us to Robin Tigerton, who says, good morning, sunshine with light fog, 66 degrees. The corn sweat is in full effect. He says, yesterday I got 4 yards mowed in Tigerton, 2 yards in the rural areas today, and we'll get it done early before it gets hot. He says, I can then sit back and watch the Packers game tomorrow night for the football preseason. And notes that, you know, it is football preseason where you go from extreme heat to extreme cold, from tornadoes to blizzards, all between the preseason and the Super Bowl. And channeling his inner Greg and Brittany, says, yeah, I'm drinking lots of water and Gatorade. And he also says, yeah, we do need rain, just not all at once. And Tony asking, Brittany, what are you doing to Ashland? What? I don't know. Are you doing something to Ashland, or is it just the weather that you're sending to Ashland?
The weather that I'm actually, it's not going to be too bad in Ashland. I mean, today is the worst day of it all. And then honestly, the rest of the weekend, you're looking dry. That's one of the best places to be all weekend.
It's always good to be way up north. Right? Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Brittany. Talk to you a little bit later. All right. Hey, sign up for our daily newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. There's an article in there today about the Wisconsin State Fair being one of the best state fairs in the country in a new USA Today ranking. So there's that. There's one about different types of hiking trails in Wisconsin for whatever type of hiker you are. Wherever you are on the scale, there's a place that's there for you. And there's an article about the dangers to rural health care in Wisconsin and how it's a double whammy with the lack of affordable housing stock in rural Wisconsin. So all of that through our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Also on the website right now, you can see a story that I just posted there that features a video clip that we were able to run before anybody else. It went up this morning, and it's all about rural health care facing a death spiral, in the words of former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg in an interview with a doctor from TOMA, talking to Dr. Jill McMullen, a family practice doc there, about what the Medicaid cuts that were supported by Congressman Derek Van Orden will mean to people in rural Wisconsin, especially the 3rd Congressional District. So head over to our Instagram and look at an excerpt from the interview or read all about it on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Put in your email address, sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter as well, which will be featuring that and a lot of the other political headlines you might have missed of the past week. One of those just might include a court decision that was handed down this week by a federal judge, who basically ruled against the Lac des Flambeaux tribe in its years-long fight to be allowed to block road access to properties inside the reservation now owned by non-tribal members. Essentially, the reservation land, like many others around the country, resembles a checkerboard, because for a time in the late 19th and early 20th century, the U.S. government monkeyed around with tribal territory, saying that instead of belonging to a tribe as a whole, it had to be cut up into parcels, and that if any individual tribal members decided to sell their parcel to a non-Indian, well, it was no longer tribal land. So in the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation, you have dozens of parcels that belong to non-Indians, but to get to their properties, they have to cross tribal land, of course. Well, when developers built roads to some of those houses in the 1960s, they received tribal permission for the roads, known as easements. In most cases, the easements were not timeless. They had expiration dates. And now that the easement permissions have expired after, you know, so many years, the tribe wanted to negotiate new easements that came with payments to continue having that permission to cross tribal lands. Negotiations broke down with the adjoining non-tribal town of Lac des Flambeaux, and the tribe put up barricades 2.5 years ago for a few weeks. Eventually, a temporary deal had the town making payments to the tribe, and the barricades came down. Now, finally, the court case has been decided, and federal judge William Conley put out a 47-page ruling that said, in so many words, those easements don't really mean anything anymore. Once those roads were built and became public roads, non-tribal members get to use them to go to their properties. Now, this is just my evaluation after reading through the decision. It just seems like another of many cases where indigenous people were told one thing, and then the fine print came back to bite them later on. A statement by the tribe says, in part, this decision overlooks key elements of federal law that protect tribal lands and the tribe's inherent sovereign authority to control access to its reservation. Is that it? Probably not. The case has been watched all over as a candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court, since this ruling could have impacts on easements for tribal lands nationwide. So maybe there are still enforceable easements. Maybe they're just a mirage, able to be cast aside in the time it takes for a judge to bang their gavel. So what do you think? When I say it's easements, schmeasements, is that about right? Or is this something that is just a gross mischaracterization of the opinion? If only we had a good attorney to talk to. Here's a good attorney now, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who joins us a bit early for our week in review and has had to listen to Amateur Hour from somebody who did not attend law school but has read a few court decisions in his day. Jim Santel, good morning. Give me your grade, Professor Santel, if I were one of your law school students.
I give you a solid A in terms of not only the setup and the historical precedent for all of this, and now the result issued by, again, his name is Judge William Conley. He is a longstanding judge, a federal judge located in Madison, which is the Western District, and therefore there's jurisdiction with respect to these tribal cases. And in the end, he finds, as you accurately noted, that either the United States, again, interesting, the United States here, as we often did in the past, supported tribal rights. And so we come down on the side of the tribe here. Neither tribe nor the United States, he says, have attempted to impose reasonable restrictions on the homeowners' access to these properties. In other words, he's talking also and raising the option, perhaps, that with more reasonableness, there may be some options here still. He says, instead, to date, the tribe has attempted to block access altogether and demanded that the town pay an exorbitant monthly fee to keep those roads open, or a one-time $20 million fee for permanent access. Accordingly, court concludes the town and the homeowners have an implied easement to use and access of the roads to reach their properties. Again, 47 pages, an awful lot of legality there. Along the way, we're also talking about something called the Indian Right of Way Act. And a lot of this has to do with the interpretation of that. I think you step back, as you are doing this morning, Pat, appropriately, and know, number one, that this is one of those situations. A 47-page opinion certainly reflects that there are reasonable arguments to be made here, right, in the opposite direction. And he wrestles with those. He comes down on the side of the homeowners and not on the side of the United States, most importantly, not on the side of the tribe. The larger issue is just this matter of sovereignty.
Right.
And that's what we go to.
And I'm not finding fault with the judge necessarily. I'm just saying the nature of the law, the way that he interpreted it, certainly does have that, shall we say, bias toward locking in place the checkerboard situation that was put in place by the Dawes Act and by the treaty that the Lac des Flambeaux signed back in something like 1854. All right, Jim will be back to talk with our Week in Review panel. A local break is next for some of you, but first, really quickly, it is Free Ticket Friday, and if you're looking for tickets to the Brewers game next Wednesday afternoon with the Pittsburgh Pirates, well, text us the word GROUND, G-R-O-U-N-D, GROUND, and you can be part of a statewide drawing for tickets as part of Free Ticket Friday. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958. Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 7th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friend from UW Division of Extension Wood County. We have Anna Mitchell with us.
Nice to be here.
It's always good to see you, Anne. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a little while. Yes. Always appreciate you here, and certainly appreciate everything UW does and the extension, the great team you guys got over there. You give us a chance to touch on topics we don't always get to in our day-to-day lives.
Right.
In particular, today's, I think, is a really good one. We're going to talk about aquatic ecosystems, and this is an interesting topic to me, one that I feel like every time I think I know something about, I talk to you and I know very little. So let's find some out and let's get into this a little bit.
Yeah, so we're going to take a very high level overview because I could spend probably a whole show just talking about each one of these ecosystems. But we're going to talk about all five of Wisconsin's aquatic ecosystems. So as all of us know, Wisconsin is very rich in our aquatic resources, our lakes, rivers, streams. We have a vast diversity of aquatic ecosystems. There's actually five. They include lakes, rivers, streams, wetlands, and parts of the Great Lakes that border our state. So a lot of these ecosystems are super vital to our state. They provide a ton of economy. They're really vital for our environment and the recreational opportunities that us and others from outside of our state usually come here to seek. In fact, these ecosystems are so important that they support a large majority of our state's plant and animal life, and we have over 160 fish species. Those are native fish species here in Wisconsin. These ecosystems support 19 of our state's amphibians and thousands of invertebrate species, and those invertebrates are like bugs, aquatic bugs and stuff.
You know, I've been fishing for over 20 years since I moved out here and everything. If you had asked me to name 160 of the different types of fishes, I could get 10 maybe. I would never have guessed that many types. A number like that, I can't speak for others, but I know for me, really reminds me of the impact and the importance of this conversation and keeping our wetlands safe, keeping our all of these things that we're going to get into safe. But it's also just kind of cool to think about too, you know, that there's that many different types in our lakes and naturally growing fish.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really easy to think about those game species, which I'll talk about a little bit. I could also dive really deep into fisheries. But then we have some of those non-game species that are really unique and cool. And I think those probably make up a vast majority of those 160 fish species.
I think we just also stumbled across a future topic.
I think so.
I think make a note on that. You mentioned the types of aquatic ecosystems we have here in Wisconsin. Would you mind if we kind of broke those down a little bit, spend some time on each one of those?
Yeah, for sure. So we'll go through all five of them. Like I said, this is just a real brief overview of them. So the first of those aquatic ecosystems is our inland lakes. So in Wisconsin, we have over 15,000 inland lakes, which many have been formed by glaciers in the past, which is pretty cool. Almost 3% of our area in this state, nearly 1 million acres, is lakes.
Man.
Yeah.
That's staggering to think of. Wow.
Yeah, I like to say, you know, they say Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes. Well, Wisconsin's the land of 10,000 more.
Yeah, it's a good line. That's a good line. That's a bar.
Yep. So these inland lakes are aquatic ecosystems that support numerous different fish communities. You know, those game fishes like walleye, northern pike, panfish, muskie, and others. But they also support some of those non-game species too, and a lot of our amphibians.
Yeah. When it comes to the importance of these things, I hope other people are catching some of these numbers that you're throwing out there. We understand I don't believe there's a Wisconsin citizen that doesn't understand what we're talking about. I don't want to mansplain Wisconsin to Wisconsinites or anything. Right. But I do think that even the most diehard nature lover, the most Wisconsinite is going to hear some of these numbers and be like, wow, I didn't realize. And hopefully that really brings home the impact of this, the importance of this, but also how cool this is and some pride in these things. I don't know that we get to touch on that as much. A lot of the time we're trying to bring awareness to things, and that's really first and foremost so important for any of the other things we want to enjoy. But there is nothing wrong with taking some pride in your land, taking some pride in your state. Yeah. And I'm getting a lot of that from this, and I'm not even a Wisconsinite. I love it. I think it's really cool. The thing that you mentioned there about the glaciers is also, I get so caught up in that stuff too, and the forming of all of this land ours.
It's so cool.
It's really interesting.
So many different ecosystems besides aquatic ecosystems that are impacted or were impacted by glaciers. So then the next of our aquatic ecosystems are our rivers and streams. So our state has more than 84,000 miles of rivers and streams. So if you were to take that 84,000 miles and stretch them out, the amount of streams and rivers we have in Wisconsin would wrap around Earth just over 3 times.
That's incredible. Can't even wrap my brain around that, let alone wrapping it around the Earth. That's
I did
incredible.
Have to do the math, and it's correct. You know,
you got to double check, right?
Yes, you do. Yes.
Really interesting.
Yep. And in the Baraboo River actually is one of the longest free flowing, meaning that it's not impeded by any dams, river systems in the nation. So Wisconsin, you know, we have quite a bit of dams that I'll touch on later, and those can have some kinds of impacts to aquatic ecosystems. But it's just really cool to know that we have one of the largest free flowing parts of a river.
I don't know. I couldn't place where I did, but I know I've heard something like that in my passing, and it's cool to hear that it still is. And it is a beautiful river. The whole area over there is beautiful.
Yeah, very beautiful. And then to touch on something that I'm also really passionate about, there's nearly 2,700 trout streams in Wisconsin that support some of our cold water ecosystems that include brook trout, which is the state's only native inland trout species. So you can find like rainbow trout and brown trout in these cold water streams, but brook trout are our only native inland trout species in the state, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, there really are. Yeah. They really, really are. One of the first trout that I remember recognizing and, mm-hmm. and being familiar with. And again, going back to pride in your state, that's your fish. That's, yeah. you know, keeping that fish healthy and giving it a long, long longevity is yeah. very important.
Yep.
That's a great one to bring up.
Yeah.
Wetlands. This is another one where I think it's now it's interesting. I have some friends in Florida I talk mm-hmm. to and everything, and I've mentioned to them many times, oh, I want to check out the Everglades. I want to get there and I want to see the Everglades. Yeah. And they're like, the Everglades, it's just a bunch of swamp.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There may not be a lot of policy development catching the attention in Washington, D.C., but there's one bill that Wisconsin pork producers are still paying attention to. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. It's called the Save Our Bacon Act, and it's really designed to restore interstate commerce to the state of California. Remember, California has something called Proposition 12 in place that dictates exactly how pork producers must raise their animals and how egg producers must raise their animals. And that's turned into very expensive pork and eggs for California consumers. Morgan Warwick is the program and marketing director at the Wisconsin Pork Association.
I think it's different for every pork producer. Some are Prop 12 compliant, some are not. But at the end of the day, if we know what regulations we have to abide by and that we can raise pork the way we feel is best for our operation, that's what's important for producers. And so we want to be able to have our pig farmers continue to do what's best for their pigs, their families, and their operations while still delivering a safe, consistent, affordable food product for consumers.
Morgan Warwick with the Wisconsin Pork Association. She says addressing the fix of Proposition 12 is not only critical for California, but it also will keep other states from putting in place their own individual guidelines for food production.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
And the final few days now of the Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis. Earlier this week, the Governor's Blue Ribbon Livestock Auction was held. And while many will pay attention to the $35,000 paid for the Grand Champion Steer, what's forgotten is that that auction also awarded $55,000 in scholarships and contributed an additional $30,000 in financial support to Exhibitor Showmanship, Master Showman, and Reserve Champion Awards. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. We'll get to right around 90 for a high, but that heat index is going to be in the upper 90s and some places into the triple digits. Tonight, a few scattered thunderstorms, lows in the low to mid-70s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms with a high in the upper 80s to low 90s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a certified radio digital executive. With decades of experience working with small businesses and owning my own, does digital marketing make you feel overwhelmed? Sometimes there are so many choices and packages to choose from. You could just sign up for everything and the kitchen sink. But there's a better way. Call me at 715-496-0710 and I can build the perfect package for your business.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking.
which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, concerned about clean water? Worried about the air your kids breathe? Is the EPA doing enough to regulate pollution? We'll talk about it. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You can follow me on social media. Head over to facebook.com/morningswithpatcreitlow. And not only can you see the show live there as we stream it on Facebook, but we also add occasional posts about things that are in the news or maybe discussions that you missed earlier. For example, I had Trygve Olsen on just yesterday morning. Trygve has worked with fledgling democracies around the world, and now he's trying to save democracy here in the United States. And so if you don't have time to go back and listen to the show or watch the video of it, we've got a post up on my Facebook page, just a text post that talks about what we discussed and where we invite you to chime in with your thoughts as well. So again, head over to Facebook and look for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Our Week in Review panel is here. Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, all with us on this Friday morning. Just another day in Trump's America where... just when you were done hearing about troops being sent to Los Angeles for no particular good reason, Jennifer, it appears the troops need somewhere else to go. So Washington, D.C. is going to be the next blue city of under Trump occupation is the way it seems to look here.
Yes, one of the top Doge workers, one of those almost teenagers, claims he was mugged in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. Elon Musk posted about it on social media. Trump got into it, and suddenly the right wing was agog at crime in D.C., which is actually at a 30-year low. Last night, Trump announced that he was sending federal troops into Washington as early as today to patrol tourist venues and the like. I think it's obviously just a show of force, and you know, one possible event is not a reason to turn a city into an armed fortress, but there we are.
But it is ample reason, Mark Jacob. I mean, you only need the one thing there, and I think where I want to go with this is how this is reported, because you know, in the Wisconsin version of it, you had 20 lawmakers, 20 legislators sending a letter to the mayor of Milwaukee saying you need to do something about crime in your city because there had recently been one high profile shooting. And, you know, what's the mayor supposed to do other than say crime is down in our city? And it really, it's incumbent upon newsrooms to put some perspective on a letter like that when legislators are playing the quote unquote Milwaukee card.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important for people to understand that crime is dramatically down in the United States over the last 30 years. It's way lower than it was in the 1990s. This is a good news story. This is policies and people doing good things so that crime is down. But the interesting thing, Pat, was that when they did a public opinion surveys over the last 30 years, almost always people would say crime is up. But the statistics show it's way down. So it's one of those things where it's really easy to for people to get false impressions. And then you have, you know, people like Fox News and other kind of propaganda services, you know, demagoguing the issue so that they don't want to get to the truth. They just want to, you know, use excuses to try to increase government power. And again, here I am talking about the Republicans who always were talking about government being on our necks, wanting to increase government power, because that's what's going on right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, in every way, shape, or form, whether it's, you know, sending the military into a city or As we discussed last hour, having the Corps of Engineers raise a river level so that J.D. Vance can go kayaking on it. I mean, you know, small government only for thee, but not for me. And Mark, you remind me, I don't have it in front of me here, but I mean, one of the most telling graphics of the 2024 election was when respondents were asked like six different questions. It was five or six questions like that. Is crime down or up? You know, is immigration, you know, down or up? And consistently, the people who answered all of them wrong, who got wrong, these are factual questions. There's a correct yes or no. And the ones who went 0 for 6 overwhelmingly voted for Trump because, Jennifer, that's the narrative that they get from their choice in quote-unquote news.
Right. If you watch Fox News, oh, gosh, I had a promised myself I would never call it Fox News. I would call it Fox Cable. Fox Cable, if you watch that, you do not know what's going on. Right now, you think the biggest story in the world is the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad. Yeah. And you think that crime is up, prices are down, Trump is great. And it's really done a terrible disservice to this country to just share so many lies so frequently with so many people.
Well, and it's funny, they loved the tabloid story of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. They loved it and loved it until Trump went about face on it. And suddenly they're pretending the story never existed. Meanwhile, you know, in traditional media, you're seeing Jim Santel, you're seeing Ghislaine Maxwell being transferred to a lower security prison, which, near as I can see, is amazingly unprecedented for somebody who doesn't seem to have done anything to deserve that, given the horrific things she did to children.
Two observations exactly along those lines. Number one, this is a violent crime. And again, I call upon everyone, including the media, to reinforce that notion. This is, yes, it's about sex, but it's about power and it's about violence. The human trafficking, the sex trafficking in which she, and very likely the principal defendant who did commit suicide in prison here, they engaged in violent crime. So what is the consequence of that? Inside the Bureau of Prisons, it is an entity of the U.S. Department of Justice. Or once again, people who know what they're doing up until now have had the capacity to make assessments of incoming convicts, incoming defendants, and make a determination about the security level of the facility to which they should be assigned. She is high violence, high security defendant, and she should remain there in Tallahassee instead, leapfrogging over all sorts of internal, I know it sounds wonky, but regulations that are there for a reason, to protect the American public, and also, frankly, to protect the very lives and livelihood of the people who are in those prisons. She is sent over to Texas at what is, again, euphemistically called a camp, where, again, there are low gates and things around the perimeter. And it is unjustifiable in terms of not only the standards, the precedent. If I were a criminal defense attorney in America today, and I was representing a violent criminal in that category, and that person was going off to a high security prison, I would file a motion with the federal district court judge, wherever that is, and say, obviously, the Bureau of Prisons has changed its standards. I want the same deal. And that's also the impact of this beyond just this inappropriate, indefensible designation.
Mark, should I be half empty or half full my glass on the Epstein case in terms of the impact on Trump? Because when he flipped and suddenly it became a hoax and we learned that his name had come up in some fashion in the files, once again, like so many other times, it feels like just when he's going to face accountability, the American attention span moves. And Speaker Mike Johnson sent Congress home early on their recess. And so here's the half empty, half full. Has Trump again, you know, slipped accountability for whatever misdeeds he created, or did he simply put a pin in it, and when Congress comes back, those members of Congress are going to be as vocal as ever about releasing all of the files, and we'll be hearing about this all over again?
I think this is an exception to everything else. You know, I mean, he's gotten away with so much horrible conduct, but this one seems to, for some reason, and I'm not sure exactly why, but for some reason, this seems to be sticking. I mean, it's been a month, right? You know, since the latest thing where, you know, Pam Bondi you know, announced that it was all sitting on her desk and she was just going to review it and release it. And then they decided, well, no, there are actually no, there's no Epstein list. You know, we're going to have to, you know, we're not going to release anything more, which is, I mean, and that outraged the right as well as the, you know, the left and just all decent people who don't want, you know, children molested and then it be to be covered up by our government. You know, so I think it's sticking. I mean, and there are ways we can help it continue to stick as a tough issue. I mean, I don't even call it the recess anymore. I call it the Epstein recess. This is Congress on an Epstein recess. And, you know, because they fled town to avoid voting on whether to release records that may show that powerful people were involved in child sex trafficking. That's what's going on. And decent people don't do that. Mike Johnson does it because he's not a decent person.
So we look at this recess, Jennifer, and how it gets covered. And on the one hand, you could see that it's going to be one of the busiest recesses ever, as, you know, when there's the occasional town hall like Flood in Nebraska, like Stile in Wisconsin. And as more people learn what's in, you know, the Trump mega bill, they want to speak up. They don't like it. As more people kind of see through the noise on the Epstein files, they don't like it. And yet, I know, because I've already seen this, if a member of Congress comes home for recess and, you know, tours a farm, the coverage is all about the congressman who came home and did a farm tour. So if you were running a newsroom in one of these districts and it's the August recess, how do you make sure that your coverage is relevant to, you know, the country's priorities and the viewers' values?
I was one of those reporters in one of those rural districts when the congressperson came home, and we were very excited when we got invited to go to a farm tour or a press conference because it was something out of the ordinary and it seemed really important. And I don't want to disparage in any way any local journalists anywhere right now, because I think most of them are doing a hell of a job. But I will say there's enormous pressure for younger, inexperienced journalists who get a chance to interview a congressperson, oh my gosh, and to call them out, to ask them hard questions is not something that, if you haven't done it before and it's your first job and you're 21 years old, I think it's hard. I know it was hard for me. I got an opportunity to do one of those with the then Vice President of the United States, and he just rolled right over me with every question I asked him. So I think it's hard. That said, a lot of these folks, because these town halls and some of these things are so contentious, there's a lot more experienced reporters. And I do think experience matters in this case where they, you know what, just ask the darn question. But you're right. That's what politicians do. They know that they're going to walk through a farm field with a friendly crowd, and they're doing it intentionally that way so that they get the pretty pictures and no hard questions.
And what they can, if they get the hard questions, and I know you put up one recently with Congresswoman Nancy Mace, but we've certainly seen it with Derek Van Orden. If they don't like the question, Jennifer, well, now they just have this angry outburst at the person, which used to, you know, kill your reputation, but now it burnishes your reputation if you yell at a local reporter.
Well, you know what? I think it does and it doesn't, right? I mean, if you're a Fox News viewer, you're like, yeah, get them, because Trump has convinced you and Fox has helped that the press is the bad, they're the bad guys. But what we're seeing, especially in a lot of these recent town halls, but think back to the town halls, you know, and before that, regular people who aren't in the Fox bubble, they kind of get it. And so when they see Nancy Mace, as she did yesterday, go after that reporter for saying, how can you say you're for this when you voted against it? How can you take credit for it? And Nancy Mace starts just railing on her. If you're not in the Fox bubble, I think you see that and you're like, ugh.
Exactly. Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob and Jim Santel, our Week in Review panel with us. And again, for free ticket Friday, the word is ground, G-R-O-U-N-D. Text that through the Civic Media app. A local update is next for some of you folks here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-511-3535. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider, 800-511-3535. That's 800-511-3535. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-511-3535.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons, from ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net, www.northernpines.net.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Oh, I want to check out the Everglades. I want to get there, and I want to see the Everglades. Yeah. And they're like, the Everglades, it's just a bunch of swamp and everything.
Oh, man.
But to me, it's just a ecosystem wild world.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't even begin to think of the things that I could and be interested in, rabbit holes I'd go down with that place.
I think that wetlands in general are probably one of the most overlooked and underrated ecosystems within our entire world. Doesn't matter if you're in Wisconsin or the Everglades. They're so diverse and so cool.
It's interesting to think, too, that you don't necessarily have to go to Florida to experience some of that.
No.
It's not the same thing, I mean, but of course, you have a very similar thing here. Even in where I was a kid in Rome, we had a little of this.
Yeah, I mean, wetlands are one of, like, a very vital part of Wisconsin's history. There's actually 5.3 million acres of wetland in our state today, and that covers 15% of our total acreage. But historically, it's estimated that there were 10 million acres of wetlands in Wisconsin. Wow. So our state was pretty widely covered by wetlands. And so, yeah, you can find these types of ecosystems all over, and they go so overlooked, but they're so cool. Wetlands are really important for a lot of our wildlife species too. They're nurseries for fish and wildlife. They purify our lakes just because the plants and kind of the biological parts of an ecosystem allow them to take in more nutrients in water, and then those plants filter out those nutrients and actually produce cleaner water. So
this is incredible.
It's incredible. They're like sponges. Yeah. They're sponges. They help with flooding. There's so many cool aspects of wetlands.
I know we have Great Lakes to get to yet, yeah. But it does feel like each one of these we could spend an hour on. Really could. Yeah, and I hope it encourages other people to keep researching, reading. This stuff is great information, but it's also, I think in some ways, meant to kind of encourage you to like, hey, look a little more into this and go down that rabbit hole. It's exciting. Yeah. It's interesting. And yeah, Great Lakes is, of course, one of the big ones we got to talk about.
Yep. So we have two Great Lakes that border our state. We have Lake Superior and Lake Michigan. So those are two of the world's largest lakes, hence why they're called Great Lakes. In fact, our state has over 800 miles of Great Lakes shoreline. Both Lake Superior and Lake Michigan have fueled our state's economic growth. So the harbors and marinas of these two lakes support $9.4 billion annually just to recreational boating.
A billion with a B. Everybody.
Yeah, a billion with a B. And then there's more than $7 billion, $7 billion worth of cargo that passes through Wisconsin ports each year.
Not only is that incredible, I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No.
It's incredible to think of those numbers and that amount of commerce and everything. Yeah. I also think, again, going back to the history of this, that's part of what made this state is that, of course, back then we're talking fur traders, we're talking boat trains.
We still have iron ore.
Yeah. It's kind of cool to think, again, this even that the economic way of making money in this state is still very similar to how it was in the beginning in some ways.
And I think you go to those, I don't want to call them coastal, but you go to those Great Lakes communities, like you can see that history and you can feel that history in those communities, which is really cool. I love those communities so much. They're so unique.
And the dams, of course, is a big part of this too. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. There is other parts of this you wanted to cover. Where do you want to go here?
Yeah, just what you're getting at it with dams. It's the impoundments and reservoirs in our state. These are created. They're basically man-made, right? Created with the use of dams. So we have numerous impoundments and reservoirs, like I said, many of which were created using dams. In fact, we approximately have 3,900 dams currently in existence in Wisconsin.
That's amazing to think of.
It is, and that's low compared to the historic number of dams that we've had. And some of those have been taken out due to safety concerns. Mm-hmm. Others have been habitat restoration projects. Mm-hmm. When you put in a dam, you completely change the flow of a river system. So when you take that out, you're encouraging the system to go back to its natural formation and its natural ecosystem.
Touched on another one of my favorite kind of side topics in architecture. Mm-hmm. And I know infrastructure isn't a sexy topic, but it is so vital to so many different things. And it touches on so many different aspects of our day-to-day life and our economy. Yeah. Dams are one of the better examples of this. The essential role that aquatic ecosystems play economically for us, or the essential role just in general, I mean, that they take.
So there's a couple of different really essential roles that our aquatic ecosystems play in Wisconsin. And we've touched on these before. I just want to reiterate them. So our aquatic ecosystems, they support a wide range of plants and animal life. I think that's
huge.
Very huge. They also provide us recreational opportunities. I didn't even touch on fishing and boating recreation. That contributes to a huge part of our state's economy. I think the last time I checked, there was, I don't want to misstate, but over 1 million fishing licenses sold by Wisconsin DNR.
I think that number, I don't think that sounds far-fetched at all. Like, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, in the state, nationwide, we have what's called the Dingell-Johnson Act, which is an excise tax on marine fuel and then fishing supplies. And so portions of anything purchased for marine fuel or fishing supplies goes back to help fund our aquatic ecosystems, which I think is pretty cool. And so then other essential roles of our aquatic ecosystems, they help maintain water quality. This is really huge in our state. When a majority of our citizens in Wisconsin get drinking water from groundwater, but our surface water resources like these lakes, rivers, streams, wetlands are what help protect our drinking water and restore the quality.
Water's amazing.
Yeah.
Water's awesome.
It's amazing and complicated.
Yes, that too. And there's not only all of this, but again, one of those topics that we encourage you to dig even more into. And I think you'd be surprised by how impactful and essential this role is. Now, we do certainly like to also pay attention and bring a highlight the concerns we might have with this too.
Yep. So there are a couple of concerns, pollution being the number one concern. Probably, and that pollution can come from many sources, urban, agricultural, industrial sources, and then habitat alterations. We talked about dams altering habitat, right? But there's also wetland loss and shoreline development. And then we have the...
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. It'll be another dry, hot day north of L.A. where a new wildfire has torn through almost 1,000 acres in a single day. Thousands of people have been forced from their homes, others in wait-and-see mode.
We have all the animals in the car, important documents, and we're ready if we got to go.
Scary, that's for sure, you know, but I'm going to try to stay as long as I can to protect my home.
Israel's cabinet has approved a plan for the IDF to take control of Gaza City. CBS's Deborah Pata has reaction.
Civilians, they say there is nothing left to occupy. They're already dying 100,000 deaths every day, and that the offensive won't kill Hamas, but women and children.
Today is President Trump's deadline for a Russia-Ukraine ceasefire, but there's no word of a deal. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
In a flash, we've gone from talking about American ultimatums and deadlines to let's have a summit. And this, Vladimir Putin will consider already a diplomatic victory.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.